We're going to look at Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 44. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'Well, Master, you have said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbour as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And no one after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, 'How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. David therefore himself calls him Lord. And whence is he then his son?' And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and says to them, Verily I say to you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.'" May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. And so a scribe, that's what scribes did, they scribed. Therefore they knew the law. They were writing all the time, expert in the law. May have been Pharisee. Pharisees and scribes seem to share the same opinion. And he was impressed, this particular scribe was impressed with Jesus' answers. You see, for the Jewish people then and for the Jewish people today, there are 613 laws. Which is the greatest? 613. When they wear their prayer shawls, 613 is symbolised on their prayer shawl. The little fringes on the end are called tzitzit, and the numerical value of the word tzitzit is 600. And then in each tassel that's on each corner, there are 8 strands, and on each piece of cord that the tassel is on, there are 5 knots. So you've got 600 plus 8 plus 5, 613. And so there's a constant reminder of the law, which is the greatest. He was impressed with Jesus' teaching, particularly because Jesus had just been speaking to the Sadducees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were at odds with each other, you see, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, the Pharisees did. The Sadducees didn't believe in an afterlife, the Pharisees did. Sadducees didn't believe in angels, the Pharisees did. And Jesus had spoken to the Sadducees in last week's reading that we read, really shown that their question, which they had thought would show that the belief of the Pharisees and the belief of Jesus in the resurrection was silly. The question about a woman who had 7 brothers for her husband, one after the other, as one died she married the next one and so on, in the resurrection who shall she be? Ha ha, what a silly idea the resurrection is. And she said, no, I've got it all wrong. In the resurrection, it won't be like, because there won't be the giving in marriage and all the rest of it. It's a bit of an eye-opener to us who tend to think of the resurrection in the future life being the same now, but with all our family around us and all the rest of it. The focus is going to be God. The focus for angels is hallelujah. And again they said, hallelujah, they're praising God. He is the focus. He is the central point. But he answered the Sadducees, you see, in a way to put their mockery down. And seeing and hearing that, he comes to Jesus. And Jesus was the one who had answered so well. He'd heard them, you see. It says, reasoning together. Which is the first commandment of all? And the answer that Jesus gives goes to the centre of that Jewish belief and commitment, that central confession, if you like. He goes, starts with what's called in Hebrew the Shema. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. It's called the Shema because of the first word. It means hear. And this is where Jesus is speaking. He says, the first commandment of all in verse 29 is, hear, O Israel. Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. That's the first commandment of all. The Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like to it. Namely this. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Hear, O Israel, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself. That's in Leviticus chapter 19. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? How did Jesus come to tell that story? Someone said to Jesus, who is my neighbour? You should love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus told the story of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, who tended to the wounds of a Jewish fellow. They were enemies, but here's a man in need. Love your neighbour as yourself. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 to 10, this is what Paul wrote to the Romans. Romans 13 verse 8. Owe no one anything but to love one another. For he that loves another has fulfilled the law. There's the fulfillment of the whole law. This is why these are the great commandments. Love God and love your neighbour as yourself. He that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Do that, you keep in the lot. Love works no ill to his neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And you see, the thing is, no one born into this world of sin, born as sinners, no one can know that sort of love from their own natural birth. There has to be a transformation in lives for that sort of love to be manifested. See, Jesus came, the Son of God. He came to die on the cross of Calvary for all those that had sinned and offended God and were against God and were against him. He went to the cross. He died for those that were crucifying him. He died for those who brought him to the Romans, all the Jewish authorities. He died for them all. There is love. There is love. And he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know, we can know that love only through that new birth. Only through that transformation that takes place when we become new creations in Christ Jesus. And then it's the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. I might come to that verse again in a minute. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. It's not our love, but as channels we can experience that love going out from us. Our lives have been transformed. It came from God. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40, Jesus elaborates and he says, on these two commandments, loving God with all that you are and loving your neighbour as yourself, on these two commandments, all the law and the prophets hang. Everything else, those 613 laws that the Jewish people find in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they all hang on these two commandments, loving God with all that you are and loving your neighbour as yourself. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, Paul is writing again. And he says, by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. We keep coming back to it again and again and again. Every aspect of love comes back to loving your neighbour as yourself. And in James chapter 2 and verse 8, that loving your neighbour as yourself is called the royal law. Hallelujah. The royal law. We're living as the King wants us to live. And of course, Jesus emphasised this to his followers, to his disciples. In John chapter 13, you'll know what Jesus told them when he gave them a new commandment. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you." It's all summed up in this, you see. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Not any old love, not human love, in its ordinary form. This is divine love. "As I have loved you." It's the love of God. "That you also love one another. And by this shall everyone know, by this shall all men know, that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And if we go on a couple of chapters from John 13 to John 15, and in verse 12 there of John 15, we read this: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Oh, that's what Jesus did. He went beyond that. He laid down his life for his enemies. Greater love has no one. Praise God. What's the great commandment? Asked the man. Jesus summed it up in those two commands. Centre of it all. And the scribe said, "Well, Master, you've said the truth. For there is one God, and there's none other than he. So love, to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbour as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw he answered discreetly, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." You're not far from the kingdom of God. Why? Because the man is recognising that it's not a matter of us trying to keep the rules and to keep all that God has commanded. We fail. But it comes from a new life in Christ Jesus. It comes from God when we surrender to him. He fills us with his love. He fills us with his life. And that's more than all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, all the laws of the Old Testament could ever require and achieve for us. In the end, we're still sinners and we still die. Oh, but through the work of Calvary, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're born again of his Spirit, we can love as God loves. It's more than all the whole burnt offerings, more than all the sacrifices. This is the work of God in our lives. And then Jesus comes to an issue about the Messiah. It seems after those questions, and after Jesus had asked those questions, no one dared ask him any questions anymore. It comes out in the other Matthew and Luke as well. After this, they dare not ask him any more questions. There's nothing more to say. He's explained it all. And Jesus answered, and now he's teaching in the temple area. He's moved on and he's in the temple area. The place is full of Jewish believers, Jewish people coming. And he says, "How is it that the scribes and the Pharisees," but here in Mark's Gospel, he just refers to the scribes, "but how is it that the scribes say that Christ is the son of David? The Messiah is the son of David." For what they were expecting was a descendant of David to rise up, to take on the kingly responsibilities and lead the nation to victory, drive out the Romans, and establish Israel on earth again as a good kingdom. This would be the Messiah, an ordinary man descending from David, of the kingly line, restoring the kingdom to Israel. And so how do they say that the Messiah is the son of David, when David himself, by the Holy Spirit, says this: "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies thy footstool." The Lord said to my Lord. The "my Lord" there is the descendant of David, who is the Messiah. And that's the translation from the Greek, "the Lord said to my Lord." It uses the word kurios both times, which is the Greek word for Lord. The Lord, kurios, said to my Lord, to kurio. But actually, it's not an accurate translation of the Hebrew. It's an accurate translation of how Jewish people read the Hebrew. But it's not an accurate translation of the Hebrew, because what the Hebrew says in Psalm 110 verse 1, it says, "Yahweh," or Jehovah, "Yahweh said to my Lord Adonai, Who's speaking? God is speaking. The Lord Jehovah God is speaking. The Lord said to my Lord, the Messiah, Christ, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus is questioning. They say that the Messiah is David's son. How do they reckon it? Because that's not what David said. Well, yes, it is what David said. He is the son of David. He is descended from David. But he is divine. My Lord. It's a little interesting verse to show to the Jehovah's Witnesses, actually.
Because they always criticise you, your Bible, your authorised version, because every time in the Old Testament, except for one or two places, one particular place in Isaiah, where it says the Lord Jehovah, but usually Jehovah is translated as Lord in our Bibles, and that's because in Hebrew, when the Jewish people read it of old and when they read it today, they don't read Jehovah, they read Lord. They read Adonai, or if they're very, very touchy about it, Hashem, the name. But it's interesting, you see. They say, your Bible, where it says Lord, it should be saying Jehovah. It should be saying Jehovah. It should be saying Jehovah. Well, actually, somebody, by the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this Bart's Gospel is written, they wrote down, the Old Testament says, the Lord said to my Lord. Not Jehovah said to my Lord. They translated it as, the Lord said to my Lord. Just as it would be read in the synagogue. So if it's okay for the Lord to have that in Mark's Gospel, it's okay. In that, because we know who the Lord is. We know that the Lord is Jehovah. Hallelujah. What Jesus is pointing out is that the Christ, according to Psalm 110, the Psalm of David, and there are other places in the scripture where that is referred to. I haven't got time to go into those tonight. But Christ is pointing out that in Psalm 110, the Messiah, the Christ, he is of the line of David, but his birth is of God, is of Jehovah. Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary. She is of the line of David. Joseph was not the father of Jesus, although the kingly title came through Joseph, because he was of David's line through Solomon, whereas Mary wasn't. She was of David's line through another of David's sons. But he is the Lord from heaven. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord from heaven. None else but the Lord himself. He's trying to make this point with the Pharisees and scribes who might well be listening, that he's not just a mighty warrior, he's not just a mighty deliverer, he is the Lord God himself visiting this earth. The Lord came to this earth. The Word, which in the beginning was with God and was God, the Word became flesh. Or the Word was made flesh. The Lord said to my Lord, the Lord said to the Messiah, you sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. When did Jesus sit at the right hand of the Father? After he had died on the cross. After he had been buried and put in the tomb. After he had risen from the dead. After he had ascended, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there he is till all his enemies be made his footstool. He's coming again. The victorious King, conquering and to conquer. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Therefore David called him Lord. David called him Adonai, Lord. So the Lord asked the question, so how is he his son then? He's of the line, through Mary, but born of God. He's from the Lord. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she conceived, bare a son. And the common people heard him gladly. They didn't have the knowledge that the Pharisees and the scribes had, but to the common people, this was good news. They weren't looking for someone to come who was of human, just purely human descent, or impurely human descent, who might win, who might not win, who might conquer, who might not conquer, who would be subject to sin and to failure. They were looking to a glorious, victorious Saviour who never fails. The common people heard him gladly. Here is a man with a message of life. Hallelujah. A message of deliverance. A message of salvation. In Romans chapter 1, and verses 2 to 4, it explains more precisely. Paul is writing about the Lord. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Common people heard him gladly. And then Jesus is speaking about issues where there needs to be a right perspective. In verse 38 onwards, he speaks to them in his doctrine. He's giving them words of caution. Beware of the scribes. All they know the law,
They write the law continually, they copy it continually. They're the experts in the law, but beware the scribes because of their manner of life. Not because of their head knowledge. There are many churchmen today that are full of head knowledge but don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. They don't know the experience of salvation. Beware of the scribes. It will be manifested in their lives. Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing. I think it's in Matthew's Gospel. I've got it down here in Matthew 23. He speaks about the Pharisees and the scribes who love to go around with and make broad the borders of their garments. It's not just that they've got long flowing robes, but they like to make broad the borders of their garments because that obedience to the Old Testament law they carried out to the extreme of having fringes on the borders of their garments. And they were showing, if you like, in a religious way, their extreme devotion to religion, what holy men they were, but really it was all their own works. It was all outward show. And they loved salutations in the marketplace. Why? Well, in the marketplace, all the people are there. Even the common people that were hearing Jesus gladly. Everyone's in the marketplace where the business is done. And there in the marketplace, they like to be elevated. Oh, Rabbi, my teacher. They like the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms of feasts. In the good old days. No, in the bad old days. A lot of churches used to have situations where they had seats at the front up on the high platform where the elders would sit. You know, we're a fellowship of God's people. No one is higher than anybody else. Yeah, there's this inclination, even in Christian churches, the inclination to elevate people. It's not helped by what's descended to us through church history of the distinction between clergy and laity. The laity are the ordinary people. The clergy are the high-ups that know it all. It shouldn't be like that. We are all brethren. We've all come the same way. And those that minister are serving. You're a servant. As you minister, you're serving. You're not becoming a great leader. You're serving. There's one great leader, it's Jesus, the Lord. Who's given us who sent to us the Holy Spirit. He's poured out that which is the promise of the Father, that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That we might serve the Lord and serve one another. The Bible speaks to us about serving one another. But the rabbis, you see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they love those distinctive clothing. Isn't it the same today? You see the television tonight? Roman Catholic Church? All those fellas in their coloured robes and their funny hats and all the rest of it? Where does that all come from? It doesn't come from the Bible. It doesn't come from the Old Testament wardrobe of Aaron. It's elevating man, isn't it? It's making man look glorious, and the glory doesn't go to man. But you see, it's nothing new. The Pharisees were like it. The scribes were like it. They liked to have this distinctive clothing that made them look the part that people could look up to. Oh, I have an issue with some of these things. An issue which I can sometimes sort of bite the bottom lip and we'll get over it. But people like to wear their dog collars. Why? Where does it come from? Investigate where it comes from. It's not Christian. And all the robes that are worn. And the colours that they have to be in. All this sort of stuff. We are all brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Jesus is warning, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and so on and so forth. They like the chief seats. They like to be greeted in the marketplaces. Oh, Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbi. They're being elevated. They're being glorified. They loved it. Looked up to. He says, but look at their lives. And that's what we need to look at. Look at the lives that result from their way of life. From every believer, there should be a manifestation of the Christ life. In the power of the Holy Spirit, there should be a manifestation of the Christ life. There should be a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I'm aware that sometimes we slip and fall. I do. But there should be the manifestation of the Christ life. He says, look at these people, says Jesus. Outwardly, they look the part, don't they? All the robes and the things they wear and the respect and the esteem with which they're held. But look what they do. They devour widows' houses. They'll rob widows. That's the Lord, they'll say. They'll deny helping their parents because all that they had was devoted to God. Even though they enjoyed the use of it, it was devoted to God. It was korban, they said. And you can't have it because it's God's. I can enjoy it because I'm God's own, and so on. They were corrupt. And for a sense, they make long prayers. Always beware of long prayers. It comes from pretense. People will think we're much more devout and holy if we pray long prayers. No, it doesn't work like that. These, he says, shall receive greater damnation. In verses 41 to 44, right at the end of the chapter here. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. You can imagine the response of people. These men are giving huge amounts of money to support the work of God, and this woman comes and gives a couple of, well, you can't even get a glass of water with it, you know. What use is that? But Jesus says she's cast in all her living. She didn't even leave herself enough money to buy a crust of bread. She gave it all to the Lord. These men, out of their tremendous riches, are thrown in what seems to you to be a lot of money, but it's nothing to them. They won't miss it. And he called his disciples and said, "Verily I say to you, this poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury." How much has she cast in? A couple of mites. A couple of little bits of brass. And Jesus says she's cast in more, not than one of them, she has cast in more than all of them together. That's how the Lord looks on it. Let us be cheerful, give us. They cast in of their abundance. She of her what did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The widow? She had no one to turn to. When she was being robbed of her house because her husband had died, she couldn't have it anymore. If there were Pharisees in the family, they got it. Throughout we see, as we see today, if we look around us, throughout we see the failure of religion, but the triumph of true love. 2 commandments. Love God with everything that you are, and your neighbour as yourself. Oh, may God be glorified in our lives. As we heed the warnings and the instructions of Scripture, may we be blessed in serving the Lord.